Larry, come on back up. While you're turning to Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to give you some illustrations, if I get this right. These few moments of silence seem like hours. Thank you, Larry. That's the lesson title, That's Good to Remember. You know, years ago there was a statement made about the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it really is. And it's terrible to waste it on negative things. So that's why I've titled this one, That's Good to Remember, because there's a lot of positive things that we can remember. One of the areas that helps me to be positive in my memory is various quotes by various people. So I'm going to begin our lesson with that before we go into Joshua. The first quote was by Thomas Jefferson. When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. I like that. That's showing don't give up. Tie a knot and hang on. It's good to remember that, isn't it? Let's go to a second quote. This is by Martin Luther King Jr. The quality, not the longevity of one's life, is what is important. And that's good to remember, is it not? That's a good lesson. Quality, not longevity. He's not saying you shouldn't live a long life, but it's the quality with what you have. That's good to remember. I like Eleanor Roosevelt when she stated, young people, listen to this. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. I like that one. That's good, isn't it? People will try to make you feel inferior. Don't consent to it. Don't consent to their nasty remarks that they might give to you. Now you know I had to use a couple sports figures on good quotes. So the next one is by John Wooden, well-known basketball coach. He states, failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. That's good to remember. And one more, and that is going to be by Vince Lombardi, our arch enemy of the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers. He said, winners never quit and quitters never win. And, you know, I could multiply that by many more things, but I think you would agree with me. Those are some good thoughts to remember instead of being negative and pessimistic. But more importantly, there's many, many, many good statements in the Bible to remember. Good thoughts to remember as we go through life. And we're going to look at three different examples. I could have used many more. In fact, I won't tell you how many I had to begin with, but I broke it down to three for this evening. And the first one is found in the book of Joshua. So let's read Joshua chapter 1. Now, before we read it, let's remember that they had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're going to go take the land of Canaan. The end of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. And now you have Joshua taking over. We have recorded verse 1. I'm using the New King James Version. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving, to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all accordance of the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you might prosper in whatever you do. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp, and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest, and this is giving you and giving you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on the this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass through before the brethren, armed all your mighty men with valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave to you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession, enjoy it which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave to you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all the commandments we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we have heeded Moses in all things, we will heed you, only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Lengthy reading, but that's the setting of the book of Joshua. Now, we've studied the book of Joshua probably many times in our life. And we understand that in giving the land, they had to deal with battles. God's giving them the land, but it's not that they just walked in and there it was. They had to do as God had said. And there's many lessons in Joshua. We're not going to go to that. But remember, I said our lesson tonight is the good things to remember. When we look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, now this is from my study. You may disagree, and that's totally up to you. But from my study, the good thing to remember here is the repeated phrase in verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, and verse 18. Be strong and of good courage. That's a good lesson, isn't it? Be strong and of good courage. We know as we study the rest of the book of Joshua, they had to go through battles. They need to be strong and of good courage. We know from studying the book of Joshua, not everything went simple, was simply done. Be strong and of good courage. I believe that's a good format for someone who becomes a child of God. God's given us salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, through his blood. But we need to remember, as in the book of Joshua, to be strong and of good courage. He will guide us. He will lead us. He will give us a way out. But I have to be what? Be strong and of good courage. So when I think of a phrase in the New Testament, that phrase crosses my mind over and over again. I need to be strong and of good courage. But let's move on to another. And for here, we're going to 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. This is the fourth king of Judah, of the divided kingdom. And, you know, I told my wife, but, you know, God has done what he has decided to do. It would make me happy if all the Old Testament names were Jim, Bill, Steve, John. But it's not like that. So we have King Jehoshaphat. Now, I might not be saying it the way you say it, but I've listened all day to my pronunciation, and that's what they say, Jehoshaphat. So if you want to disagree with me, that's fine, but understand, it's the fourth king of the divided kingdom under the realm of Judah. So we're going to look at a statement that he made that you need to remember, a statement we might have passed over when we studied this. And I'm sure you've studied the book of Chronicles as you studied the divided kingdom. But before we see the statement he made, we need to build up to this statement. Because you remember at the divided kingdom after Solomon, you had Judah and Israel. Kings of Judah, kings of Israel. There were some good kings in Judah, as was Jehoshaphat, and there were some bad kings. In Israel, there's no king recorded as a good king. So let's look at this good king as we see the statement we're going to look at in just a moment. We see throughout 17 chapters, and trust me, I'm not going to read all those chapters. Oh, no, he's going to read all those chapters to me? No, but I'm going to read some specific things. We see he's the fourth king, and if you were to look at, I'm not going to go there, but if you were to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 31, he reigned for 25 years. He reigned over Judah for 25 years. You might recall his father was Asa, and basically he was a very good king, with some exceptions. We also know he had a wonderful relationship to the Lord. So we should be in chapter 17 now. Let's go to chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading a section, not all of it, but chapter 17, verses 3 through 7. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David, and he did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and did according to the act, did not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all of Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. And also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, Micaiah, to teach the cities of Judah. So we stop here. This is a good king. He's got a relationship with God, and he understood how important it was to teach Judah the law of God. He sent them to teach, did he not? As we go on looking at this in chapter 17, let's go to verses 9 and 10. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and they went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah, and that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. So here's the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. He sends the people out to teach them the law of the Lord. He's not only influencing his own people, but he's influencing those around him, is he not? So that he's going good. However, there's always a however. Let's go to chapter 18. In chapter 18, we have this very short verse in 1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Now, Ahab was a king of Israel, and Ahab was a wicked king. We could have numerous lessons on Ahab and what he did. He aligned himself with Ahab, and this was finalized through marriage. I'm not going to go there, but you might want to write down 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, his son Jehoram married Ahab's daughter. I could go off on a lesson on marriage, but I'm not going to do that other than to say this. It's important who you choose to marry. He chose Ahab's daughter. Trust me, she had influence over him because he went the opposite way of his father when he took over the reins. He followed the Baals, his daughter, or Ahab, his father-in-law, I don't know who, influenced him. He went the wrong way. That's why we as parents tell our children, it's not simply to marry, but marry someone who's going to help you to do that which is right biblically. Now, that's different. That's not the story, but I had to mention that. And as you look in chapter 18, we see one of the ramifications of him putting himself together with Ahab. We have recorded for us in chapter 18, as we go on, verses 3 through 7. So Ahab, the king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead?" And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." So also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it in the king's hand." Oh, here's the bummer. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we might inquire of him?" You see, what Ahab did is probably took the prophets of Baal. He's not taking the prophets of God. And they're going to tell Ahab what he wants to hear. Jehoshaphat, who's a good man, who wants to please the Lord, asked, "Is there not a prophet?" And of course, there was one prophet named Micaiah. And if you read the rest of the story, Ahab hated this man, Micaiah. As we go on, it states in verse 7, "So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There is still one man by whom we inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesies good concerning me.'" I want to stop. Why do you think he didn't prophesy good concerning him? Because he was an evil king. He did bad things. All right. "He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah." So we're not going to read the rest of the chapter, but they go gather up Micaiah, and Micaiah plays the game with them. He tells Ahab what he wants to hear, and Ahab knows he wasn't telling him the truth. So he says, "Tell me the truth." And when he told him the truth, basically, this war they're going to have at Ramoth Gilead is going to turn out bad. Going to turn out bad. And of course, things didn't work well for Ahab. He died, as you read on in this chapter. But here's the case. And again, if we're looking at Jehoshaphat, because we're going to remember something he said. You probably remember it already, but I'll just get the dust off your memory to bring it back again. Fortunately, doing a not-so-good move, going to war with Ahab, he almost was killed, but God spared him. That is Jehoshaphat. So that moves us further to the next chapter, and that's chapter 19, verses 4 through 7. Again, remember when he first came, his third year into the reign, he sent people out to teach them the way of God, teach them the law. Good king. Now we come to chapter 19, and we have Jehoshaphat as he teaches them concerning the instruction of judges, verses 4 through 7. "So Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, 'Take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in your judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you, take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, and nor taking of bribes. Wouldn't it be nice if all judges were like that today? So again, what this shows me as, and I'm just picking out, you could have picked out other things. I'm just picking out things on this king. He's a good king. 25 years he reigned. But then we come to a problem in chapter 20. In chapter 20, as we continue to look at his reign, we find the people of Moab and Ammon are gathered together to do battle with Judah. And in 20 and verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, now here's his prayer. We're going to get the lesson from a section of his prayer. Listen carefully. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand there is not power, in your hand there is not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people of Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built your sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out from the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out in your possession, of which you have given us to inherit. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And there's the statement. If you look on the chart, I'm using the English Standard Version. That which is highlight. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He didn't know at that moment that God was going to give him victory. In fact, God's going to give them victory without them even fighting. You go on and read the rest of the chapter. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Have you ever had circumstances in your life you don't know what to do? So instead of fretting, let's learn from Jehoshaphat. Our eyes are upon you. There's times in your life and my life we don't know what to do. But let's keep our eyes focused upon the Lord. Isn't that a good lesson? Wouldn't that help us overcome depression? I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I don't know what to do. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't study, but there are just times you don't have the answer. Lord, our eyes are upon you. So you keep on praying and keep on studying and have full confidence he's going to get you through it. Now, he got them through it without them even battling. In fact, it was such a victory, if you go on and read the rest of the chapter, it took them 3 days to gather up all the plunder. Because when somebody won, they would take up all the spoils and bring it back. 3 days, they took up all the plunder. But here you have this godly man who didn't realize God was going to do that. He knew God could do whatever he wanted. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I love that statement. but our eyes are upon you. Think about it. The next time you're in stress, you're in a difficult time. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't study. Keep on studying. But put your eyes upon the Lord. Remember what it says? Pray without ceasing, casting all your cares upon him. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Trouble is, some of my brethren think they always know what to do. They make the wrong decisions. But let's move on. That's lesson number two. Let's go to a third event. And that's going to bring us to John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, here's another thing I really enjoy. This is the occasion. We're going to read verses 18 through 22. This is the occasion where the Lord's going to tell Peter what's going to happen to him. I don't want the Lord to send me any message to tell me what's going to happen to me. Just take a day at a time. But let's go on and read this from John now. We're in John chapter 21, verses 18. Jesus said to him, and 17, feed my sheep. And then verse 18, he goes on to state, says he's speaking to Peter, most assuredly I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourselves and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Now, we don't have to guess what he's saying here, because the next verse, 19, says, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. He goes on to state, then Peter, turning around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, I believe that to be John, I don't know who you think it might be, and also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? I want to stop here. Isn't that how we are? The Lord had just told Peter, you're going to die glorifying me in essence. You're going to die suffering glorifying me. Went right over Peter's head. What about this man? Isn't that how we are? We're always preoccupied with others. Remember what he said after that? After he told him what his life was going to be, he said, follow me. Now you say, oh, that's the statement. No, that's not. But the point is this. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't help others. We've got many Bible passages that teach that. But we've got to quit looking to others and comparing their life to our life. If this is what happened to me, why isn't that happening to them? Or what? Doesn't matter. Because here's the lesson. Here's the lesson in John chapter 21. Here's something good to remember. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, again, they misunderstood that, too, if you go on and read. But the lesson is, if I allow him to remain till I come, what's it to you? You follow me. Again, it's not telling that we shouldn't help others, but we shouldn't get so preoccupied with others. We need to do what? We need to work out our own salvation. Do we not? Now, John was not going to stay till he come. They misunderstood that. The disciples thought that was going to be. But the point is this. What's it to you? You follow the Lord. Well, look at what that brother did. What's it to you? You follow the Lord. Well, why didn't this brother have the same thing? What's it to you? You follow the Lord. Why do we always want to look at others and say, look at that over there. Why isn't that like me? What's it to you? You follow the Lord. My friend, that's good to remember. You follow the Lord. That's good to remember. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's good to remember. We need to be strong and of good courage. So the next time you feel like Eeyore, the Disney character who's always feeling sorry for himself, I said that at one congregation. The one sister in Christ was a big Eeyore fan, and the next service she came with her Eeyore jacket. If you like Eeyore, that's fine. But don't be like Eeyore. What's it to you? Be strong and courageous. Look to the Lord. So that's my lesson tonight. What are you going to think about? What's moving you forward? We need to focus on things that are good to remember. Don't focus on who did you wrong. Don't focus on what went wrong. Don't focus on I didn't get credit. Focus on good statements. Focus on something that's going to move you forward. Focus on something from God's Word or even by individual speakers that's going to make you positive, because what are we to be? Lights of the world. I hope this has been beneficial for you. I see the time. I guess I could have given one more, but I'm done. I've always told people, don't try to extend it if you have extra time. I'm finished. This lesson's yours. Do with it what you want. But ask yourself this question. Are you in Christ? You should be. You want to be strong? You want to look to the Lord and have His help? You got to be in Christ. Repent of your sins. Be baptized and be faithful to Him. And then when the time gets rough, have courage and have focus. Remember, you are responsible for your destiny. God makes it possible for us to have eternal life. What's it to you? You follow the Lord as we stand and as we sing.